Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting peace, freedom, and wellness.
We wish you a vegan Christmas. We wish you a vegan Christmas. We wish you a vegan Christmas and a dairy-free year.
The views in this program may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
We wish you a vegan Christmas and a dairy-free.
For an interview with Joseph and Jessica Seckman, the messenger of the Universal and Apostolic Church. Happy holidays to all.
Good chocolate we bring without suffering. Good chocolate for Christmas and a happy sweet year.
We wish you a vegan Christmas. Lyrics by iChalk. The German vegan chocolate brand. Music, Mark and Uta, Weidersprecher. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Joseph and Jessica Seckman via Skype in West Virginia. Thank you, Joseph and Jessica, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks for having us, Marlene. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Marlene.
Let's start out with hearing about how to forage for food and mushrooms in all seasons.
Mushrooms that grow even in the colder times. Oysters are a kind of mushroom that are pretty easy to identify. They have long wrinkles on the underside that go all the way down the stem. There's a few different colors of oysters, white ones and green ones that grow.
You can even find blue oysters or orange oysters.
Yeah. A good place to look for oysters is around the streams where the water's running. On dead logs?
Yeah, dead and dying trees. You don't normally find these mushrooms growing on the ground. You could find them on roots, I guess, close to the ground, but you normally find them on dead or dying trees.
Yeah.
So they will grow all year round. They can even grow with ice around them. So it's pretty neat. It's more of the testimony that you can find what you need. Even in the winter months, God provides, you're able to find the vegetation or the sustenance that you need without taking the life of something else. And that's kind of where you're at is how do we survive? Because it's easy to survive in the springtime and in the summer, you know, as long as there's rain, you know, you're going to have food.
Yeah, when things are thriving. But in the wintertime, there's other things that you can look for that you can subsist on and you not have to feel guilty for putting it into your body. You know, it's actually going to do you some good. Wood ear is another mushroom that you can find in the winter months. It's something that we look for. It's got a pretty neutral taste to it.
They come in a few different colors as well. You can find them in like an amber and white or clear. You can find black ones or yellow ones.
Yeah, and brown ones, the kind of fleshy colors.
They kind of resemble what an ear would look like, and you know, you're constantly finding new stuff too. Like this year, this past winter, we found wild carrots, just the leaves. Now, they'll say that you need to be careful picking wild carrots because they do have a look-alike that's known as poison hemlock, and they're a lot easier to see whenever they're big, and that comes in the summertime, but I've never seen them in the fall. And we know what they taste like, the wild carrots, and what they feel like. There's ways to tell. Like, wild carrots have hairs on the stem, and wild hemlock is a smooth stem. So as long as the hairs are there, and the hairs are there even with the little vegetation, you know, the little leaflets. So we thought that was really cool. All winter long, we were able to go out and pick some wild carrots.
Yeah, little pieces of wild carrot leaves. They might only been like an inch or two long underneath some heavy leaf litter, but if you can pull back the top layer, a lot of times you can find little greens still hiding in there that are edible, and they They have a lot of really good nutrition in them for us. So
we're listening to Joseph and Jessica Seckman. They are the messenger of the Universal and Apostolic Church as we're celebrating the solstice and this holiday season. We're hearing about foraging tips.
Even eating the dried leaves that you see, make sure they're clean, you know. And if you eat those, they have fiber and nutrients in them that can get you through. It may not be ideal, but, you know, at least as far as we know it now, but if we were to look at it a different way, we would be thankful that that is there without taking the life of something else.
Yeah, if we were living in a situation where, you know, that was your option, it's a good option for you to have.
Yeah, and your food is your medicine.
If you're wanting information on, like, why it might be a good idea to live in a manner where you consume the things that are outside and instead of, you know, depending on crops and things like that, we have a book that we got some information from. It's The New Testament Code. It's by Robert Eisenman. He talks about 2 Maccabees, where Judas Maccabee withdrew into the wilderness along with about 9 other companions. It's also known as the 10 just men of Jewish mystical lore. And it says that they, the Rechabite style, was they eating nothing but wild plants to avoid contracting defilement in their bodies, going back into the wild, and, you know, really living in the wild with that is provided for us in nature.
John the Baptist, whenever you read about him, it says that he ate locusts and wild honey. When now we know that the translations are off one basis of food, and it was locust beans from the locust tree, and wild honey is something that they made from plants.
Yeah,
it was a plant-based honey.
From flowers.
Not a bee honey.
Yeah, it wasn't something that they took from the bees.
Yeah, not something that they took from the bees. It's something that they made themselves.
Yeah.
There are locust trees that have like a honey-like substance around the bean itself.
Yeah.
And it very well could have just been that he was eating mostly of, because, again, it's wild vegetation. That's kind of what we're getting back into. And, again, like how you talked about them saying, well, Jesus fed the multitude fish. Well, when it wasn't an animal, again, it was a wild vegetation. It goes back into what we're talking about. God provides.
Yeah.
Through wild vegetation, the food that we need to survive.
Yeah, and instead of fish, it's actually fishweed, seaweed, you know, and that make sense why there were men out there fishing. If they were supposed to be in boats fishing for something, they weren't fishing for fish necessarily. They're picking up the vegetation out of the ocean that provides that good nutrition you would need, you know, to have a whole and complete diet.
It's something that they still do today. Even in this country, you can go out and you can harvest so much seaweed every day.
Yeah.
So if that's something that you want to do, we are more than allowed to do so.
Yeah.
It's just, do we know that we're allowed and even supposed to do it if we're part of original Christianity, how they believed. The Gospel of the Holy 12 is the gospel that kind of turned us on to the vegan lifestyle and how we're supposed to live.
This particular gospel, the Gospel of the Holy 12, has been mentioned and quoted numerous times by many of early church historians. It's been called a bunch of different things. It's been called the Gospel of the Hebrews, the Gospel of the Nazarenes, Gospel of the Ebionites, and most recently, the Gospel of the Holy 12. And that's, like he said, that's where we found our push to really understand the Gospels better and to accept a vegan lifestyle as, you know, the way that we needed to live our life.
Yeah, and since then, we have actually discovered, through personal discovery and research, you know, we have seen the 70 lead Jordan codices, which is kind of a new testament that was discovered. Now, they brought it to mainstream in like 2008, but the farmer who had it in his house says that they had it in the family for over 100 years. Before that, his great-grandfather actually found it in a cave in the Jordan. So within this text, or these metal books, it talks about the Jesus worshiping a male and a female god together.
Equally.
So there isn't, that's kind of just what it has, and we don't have a lot of information yet, but we do know that the codices, they are being proven authentic, and it's supposed to come out into the press here in like 2023.
David Elkington, he wrote to us about them, and he's really excited about it. He's like kind of leading the charge, and he's got some beautiful things here to say about it.
Yeah, so if I could just read an excerpt from his email where he wrote to us, because since we're in contact, if that'd be okay.
Sure.
So it says, the realization of the divine feminine from the very outset of Jesus' mission is quite a revelation, and it speaks volumes for the equability of his mission and its humanity. As wisdom was at the heart of Jesus' message, and we now have a codex explicitly picturing her in the most profound terms possible, you will be delighted when you see it, in parentheses. It says, then the implications, and I would say that it is explicit, is that animal sacrifice was abominated by the early Christians, but more importantly, by wisdom herself. And it says, we now know that the codices are a scene in origin and nature. Epiphanius, the early church father, said that they who called themselves Christians were Essenes beforehand. The Essenes eschewed animal sacrifice. They were also called Nazareans. And it says that plant life adorns the codices, all of it portrayed in association, illustrating the original temple, the ideal temple of God in New Jerusalem. There you have it. You know, the codices, they're not made of animal flesh, not made of animal skin. They're made of metal. They don't have pictures of animals on them. They've got plants on them.
Right, and then talking about the ideal temple, you know, it goes back into what wasn't supposed to be included in the temple, you know, and why there was such a...
Yeah, backlash from Jesus himself whenever he sees the animals being sacrificed in the temple. And according to all the scriptures, Jesus gets a whip. And according to the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, he goes out and he fashions himself a whip of 7 cords. He makes that himself, and he goes into the temple and overturns the tables. He chases the people out, chases the animals out, making the temple a den of thieves is what he calls it. And people say that's because of money, but really, Jesus is talking about robbing the temples, robbing the animals of their lives. That's what I believe it is.
Yeah, for sure.
There's gospels all over, you know, you can find a lot of them, really, that talk about the vegan lifestyle of Jesus.
Vegans for everyone.
So you're tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Joseph and Jessica Seckman in West Virginia.
Wish you
back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're joined by Joseph and Jessica Seckman in West Virginia. We'll hear about the practice of Joseph's martial arts.
We actually use a style of Chinese martial art known as Wing Chun. It's an authentic Ip Man. It family Wing Chun.
Joseph and Jessica, you have a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Thank you. And so for those who'd like to hear more about foraging for food in the wild, in the woods, in all seasons, about your martial art that you practice, as well as learning more about the Gospel of the Holy Twelve and your work as messenger of the Universal and Apostolic Church, what contact information do you have for our listeners?
You can find us on Facebook under UAC Messenger. You can find us also as Joseph and Jessica Sackman on Facebook. We welcome anybody who's interested to talk or has any kind of questions, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Will you please tell us a little bit about your wild friend, Thorn the Buck?
Thorn, he's one of our family of deer. We've got about 16 or 17 of them, probably. Hey, he comes and goes as he pleases. You know, he's just a wild deer, but he's always been around ever since he was little.
Yeah, his mom was somewhere probably close to the property when she had him as a baby, and he's always been here ever since he had spots on him. We've come to know him over the years. He hurt himself a couple years ago. He come home with a broken ankle. The bone was exposed in his ankle, and it was hard for him to maneuver on for a couple months. He was down pretty good. But he stayed in the yard. We made sure to try and give him food. He likes to eat our leftovers.
Yeah, he'll eat fruit and vegetables, or he'll eat bread and corn. You know, just about whatever you want to toss him out there. Really.
Yeah, banana.
As long as it's vegetation, he eats banana peels.
Yeah.
So that's something that's kind of cool. You know, is I don't know if you're like us, but if you eat bananas, you've got peels everywhere. It's nice to have somebody help clean that up.
Yeah. He's real personable, though, Thorn is. You can talk to him when you come through the yard. He'll look at you. He doesn't run away, usually, unless he's a little scared. And
yeah, I mean, that happens. They are a little skittish, you know. He'll turn around whenever you yell for him. He knows his name. That's something. He's kind of like a dog or a cat would be, really, you know, except he comes and goes as he pleases.
Yeah, he only comes around if he wants to.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He is 5 years old now.
Yeah.
He's coming right along, and he's getting really big. His horns are getting really big. Like the picture that we have in the banner, he still has his velvet on his horns, so you can't really see it like you can after he rubbed it all off. They're pretty big.
But it's from this year.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, and it is.
He's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. It's such a blessing to get to be able to see him and spend time with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the squirrel and the rabbits, you know. We've got three or four squirrels that come into the yard, and they all seem to be part of the same family as well. They come in and get what's being thrown out, you know. A lot of times it's corn and stuff.
Yeah, and they used to run, like, every time you crack the door open, they used to run off. But nowadays, those same three squirrels, they kind of hang out, and they look at you, and we talk to them and tell them thanks for hanging out. And you can tell that they're changing the way that they act around us, you know, so we try and acknowledge that and enjoy it while it's here. So,
yeah, because you never know, like, how things are going to change from day to day. So just try to take it in. You get to hang out with somebody for 10 or 15 minutes out of your day, you know, somebody that's wild like that. It has a good impression on you, I think. It's just, you don't want to get lost in like, where are they at, you know, kind of thing, especially whenever we're talking about animals that get hunted all year, like a raccoon or a deer, you know, because it's just heartbreaking to sit and think about it. So it's good to think about the time that you get.
Yeah.
That's how I like to keep it.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Joseph and Jessica. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today, yet I'd love to hear a little bit more about your family and your two children, your two vegan children.
We've got two kids. We've got a 17-year-old, Josh, and we've got a 6-year-old, Bithia. They're both homeschooled. They're both vegan. They're both healthy and happy kids.
Josh is learning metal forging, bladesmithing with me on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, Bithia's she's in kindergarten, and she's just moving right along, excited to learn to read and, you know, do all of that stuff, expand her vocabulary. And
they're happy eating what they eat.
Yeah, they're
they're not sick all the time.
They both check the labels on things that we eat. You know, when it comes time to check the label, they're really good about making sure that they don't.
They ask Grandma if the cookies have eggs in them or milk, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're not upset if it does. They just, you know, buy, well, we don't want that. We can make our own. You know, we can make stuff without that stuff in it. It's not that big a deal to them. So it's really nice to see them.
They don't feel like they're missing out.
Yeah.
You know, they understand what we're doing and trying to keep them healthy and with a good, clear mind.
Yeah. Yeah, we try and just keep that open dialogue.
If they want something like a burger, well, let's veganize that. Or if they want ice cream, well, let's make a vegan version of that. It's easy enough to do.
Yeah, it's way better and it's worth the time to take a little bit of time and make it instead of pumping some garbage into them. You know, I don't even know what the effects are going to be. You know, years down the road. So, we would much rather take the time and make them things to help them get over the little cravings, you know, like we all have. So
yeah, as far as like the wild vegetation, that they dabble in it a little bit, but they're not into it like we are as adults, knowing that, you know, it's the medicine, we need that now because we have the age to us and we don't feel like they do.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you know, they can go and find a wild carrot most of the time, and they can see a wood ear growing on a tree, and they know that it's good to eat.
Yeah, and Bithia will bring me those things and say, "Here, Dad, here's some food."
So
beautiful. Thank you very much. What additional messages do you have for our listeners, and what contact information could you please repeat the contact information as well?
Sure. Yeah, for the season, I think that it might be helpful to remember for all of us to just continue doing what you're doing, and you might be at odds with some people that are around, you know, in the way that you think, but to remember to try and get along, because you know, the example is what's the most important, is that people see that it's possible to do things different and still be happy and healthy doing it.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it.
As long as we are a good example and we can stay happy and healthy around people, even though they might not share that same outlook, then we can be the example that is needed. You can find us on Facebook again. That's UAC Messenger on Facebook, or Joseph Jessica Sexton on Facebook. That's our two pages that people can get a hold of us through.
Yep, that's us.
Great. And is there an email address as well?
Yeah, we can do the email address. It is universalandapostolic2015@gmail.com. So that's universalandapostolic2015@gmail.com.
Thank you, Joseph and Jessica. This has been a great honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks a lot for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marlene. We appreciate everything you do. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We appreciate you, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
We wish you a vegan Christmas. We wish you a vegan Christmas in the dairy. Spooky, but some bars of sweet.
Decided to hurt you like you hurt him. Would it be a sin?
What will it take to crush your denial? When will you see he's just a child? It's not his fate to fill your plate.
Be kind already. Let go of your fright already.
This is Be Kind Already. Lyrics by Jane Velez Mitchell and Jason Oliver. Sung by Jason Oliver and Michelle Swan. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.
You think I'm just out to make trouble, as you fight like hell to stay in your bubble.
But you will see that history's on my side.
Be kind already. Let go of your fright.